Sports Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My good friend Sandy Williams is on the line. You know, Sandy, I want to talk about a conversation I had over this weekend with a group of young people. And it was a really important conversation that I couldn't wait to have with you this morning. And at the root of it was voting and electing people. And then those people that we vote for and elect, why they have such a difficult time doing what's in the best interest of the people who vote for them, as opposed to lobbyists or people who have donated money to their campaigns. And it was hard for me to defend the system, that tells us to vote for people, and then those people have to deal with lobbyists and or the major campaign donors, and that they do the bidding of those people before they do the bidding of the very people who've elected them. Can you help, you know, walk us through that?
Well, I mean, I think it has to do with the amount of attention that's paid to that whole K Street lobbying and the extent to which they have power over the incumbents in office and those running for office. And we ought to pay more attention to it. And, you know, I wouldn't have listed myself as a progressive in the last election and thought that some of their positions were unrealistic. But I did think one of the good things that progressives do is to focus a great deal of attention on the extent to which money seems to talk in politics much more than the voting booth. And we have to solve for that. And the public has to solve for it. And I think it's going to require that people vote in a manner that punishes politicians who aren't listening to the voters but are listening to lobbyists. And it'll require that we look much more carefully at all those votes that don't get any attention paid to them at the time they're made. And that's how lobbyists make their money. They bury the legislation that makes money for all of their clients in pieces of legislation that are innocuous, or big pieces of legislation that are passed with a headline that doesn't have anything to do with all the little subparts in the legislation itself. And that was the racket for a long time. You'd plug it into the budget, or you'd plug all kinds of things into dark places that no one knew about, and and they would get passed and voted upon. And so I think it's the only way it'll get solved is it's for the public to decide that this is maybe issue number one in politics right now, and that is let's get all this big money and out of politics. It'll require dealing with Citizens United and the Supreme Court precedent that was set there. It'll have to deal with who we elect to office and how they behave.
You know, Sandy, it is, as I hear you explain it, the average citizen who, you know, is dealing with their day-to-day lives trusts our system. But based on how you just explained it, the system is broken. And that's on both Democrats and Republican sides, because we constantly talk about getting the people to vote, and the people come through and vote. And then there's systems going on and things going on behind the scenes that we, the American people, are not even aware of. We don't know that they're sliding these types of things through. And, you know, unless we have somebody like you who will say that, and if people are listening to this program, there are not a whole lot of places, Sandy, that's even being talked about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we definitely have to talk about it. And, you know, one of the main places that lots of bad things happen is in the defense budget. And, you know, we've talked last show about the gun lobby and how did it become so powerful, and it was tantamount to as powerful as the military industrial lobby that backs our military budget. But you take the military budget, $780 billion approximately. It's a huge amount that is a devotion of the national treasure to things that could otherwise have attention paid to them. So it diverts attention from child daycare. It diverts attention from a bunch of things that would be important to the people of this country in the name of, I guess, international affairs. And I would say when we get to talking about the war that one of the problems we have is that domestic affairs tend to be paid attention to by the general public. And we've ceded this question of international affairs. We've basically ceded that out of politics and handed it to the White House and to the military and to the intelligence establishments. And as a result, our country is on a course that causes us to spend $780 billion a year on the military. And if we can't deal with that, we aren't going to really be able to deal with money in politics, because that's a fundamental place where money is playing a big role in politics.
You know, Sandy, maybe on a national level, on a national scale, that's a little more difficult for people to wrap their arms around. But let's even just talk about locally in a mayoral race or a county executive race, where, you know, $400,000 by, you know, one man could be put into the race, a county executive's race, and get a person elected. And now, you know, that person has some allegiance to the person who spends $400,000, and yet the $400,000 that said person spent in that race, that person couldn't have gotten elected if the rank and file hadn't voted for him. So there should be no question then about who the allegiance to of that elected person should be. Should there? It should be to the people who voted for him or her.
Well, you know, well, I mean, money goes to politicians in a campaign, but the money has to be used to persuade the voters to vote for them. And so those voters who vote for them then need to hold the elected official's feet to the fire to make sure that the elected official does the bidding of the people and not the bidding of someone else. So I would say it's the bright light that's shone on political conduct that is the important thing. And the loss of the organized media is a problem, because it used to be that we had well-paid news reporters who rolled up their sleeves and looked at and studied and analyzed what was being done in the public arena and then brought that to the attention of the public. That's been skewed away from a purity that it used to have, because, number one, the organized media is suffering financially. Then that financial suffering has caused them to be much more beholden to financial interests. So we're having trouble now getting information about what's happening in our country that's not skewed in some fashion and that is not potentially biased. So I think I've talked about this in the past. Really, one of the problems that I think historians will look back on these current decades, and scratch their heads about is this the time when people lost contact with the reality because they didn't have good news sources to tell them what was going on? Without good news sources, we have trouble judging how our county executive does or how our mayor does, because we can't all roll up our own sleeves and look into the budget and the rest of it. So we need to have attention paid to it. It needs to be public attention. It needs to be the right bright light of public attention. And that can overcome money in politics. But I think money has only become more powerful as we've lost that tool.
You know, Sandy, there's you know, one of the issues right now in the local mayoral race is that there's this powerful, powerful political entity that is backing one of the candidates. And so the debate and the argument is, well, this guy's taking money from this powerful political entity, you know, that determines and builds, you know, capacity by spending a lot of money and helping to get said person elected to do the bidding of them. And this debate is going on in our community at a time, and when there's only two people. And so I think it really is a hurtful situation when the majority of the people who are voting have no understanding at all of this kind of conversation that is going on in the backdrop of this election. And, you know, and maybe, like you said, the best way to address that is once the person is elected, then to make sure that that powerful entity that is backing that person, that person does not then lean towards that entity more so than he does the very people who need him the most.
Well, I mean, you know, I think at the time of during the election, during the time when people are considering who to vote for, they can take into account how money was raised for their candidate and try and figure out the extent to which that money could create kind of a nefarious purpose that would be contrary to the interest of the people or the candidate. You know, money given by a donor might have different implications depending on who the donor is and what their intent might be. I mean, if the donor is simply a charitable person who's trying to pick the best candidate and help them get elected, but is not going to ask that candidate to do a great deal of bidding on their own behalf, then I'm not sure how troublesome the money is. But if the money is being given in such a manner that you think that there will be some dark policy promoted by the donor that the recipient will have to follow, that's a different story. So I'm not as troubled by donations that are of a large scale. I'm more interested in who gave that money and what could their purpose be.
Sandy, hold that thought, because I want to continue this on the other side. Sandy Williams is on the line. You can join us, 844-967-2789. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.